Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Future. He still says, I'm the lifter of your head. He still says, I will stoop down and lift you up. He still says that even if you were the only person in the room, I would still open the door for you. He says, even if you run away, you're going to run into an open door. God is God. God is faithful. Experience Jesus. He changes us to look less like us, more like him. I don't know about you, but I want to look more like Jesus. I do. I want to look more like Jesus. I want to talk more like Jesus. I want to walk more like Jesus. I want to do more like Jesus. Jesus says, okay, just come through the door then. For everybody here, it's for people who are kind of praying and believing God, but I'm totally convinced that this year is a Jubilee year. This is the year of redemption. This is the year of reconciliation. This is the year of debts being demolished and bills being paid off. This is the year when captives are going to be set free. This is the year where the land is going to hear a sound. It's the sound of men and women of faith. The land is going to hear a sound. The sound is freedom. The sound is victory. The sound is breakthrough. It's going to sound like a trumpet. It's going to sound like a gong. It's going to sound like a trumpet. And the land is going to say, come on! Something else. Jesus said this: do not be afraid, little flock, because my Father has been pleased to give you a kingdom. Even as we've been looking through some of Matthew, he said, don't be afraid. I'll tell you, if there was anybody alive that should have been afraid, it should have been Jesus. But his faith was in his Father. And even though he went to the place of greatest pressing, his faith was still in his Father to lead him in and lead him out. You might feel as if you're being pressed, that the world is having a go at you. Can I just encourage you to rejoice on the inside? Can I just say, make a decision to delight in God a little bit? Because, man, you might be pressed, but you're not going to be crushed, because God will not allow that. You might be in desperation, but you will never be in isolation, because God will never allow that. Because God is faithful. He is faithful. And in this moment, over 3-4 hours, where Jesus pressed through all of his own desires, pressed through all of his own will, pressed through all of his own challenges, he came to the point of saying, I don't want to do this, but God, I want to do your will more. And in that moment, not only did he have a breakthrough, but he provided a breakthrough for you and for me. Jesus is the Lord of the breakthrough. It's not about the size of your physical, it's about the size of your faith. I know in whom I have put my trust, and his name is Jesus, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, not Captain America, not Superman, not Moses, not Elijah, not Elisha. I've put my faith in Jesus. I've not put my faith in Jeremiah or Haggai or even Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. I've put my faith in Jesus. I've put my faith in Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. Father, I just thank you right now that you are strengthening the hearts of those in this room. You're strengthening the resolve of the spirit of the people in this room. I thank you that you are reinforcing the thinking of the people in this room. God thoughts, not earth thoughts. I thank you that you are physically sorting the physical in our lives this morning. Because I know you've opened up a door to health and life and vitality. You've opened up a door to kingdom power. You've opened up a door to kingdom relationship. You've opened up a door to kingdom breakthrough. And that door will never be shut. That door is always open. Hallelujah. There are some dreamers in the room. I don't mean daydreamers, but your faith dreamers. And you've heard stuff in the night time, and you've parked it and said, one day, well, today's the one day. Today is that day. Brush off the dust of time. Brush off the cobwebs of maybe, and look at that again and said, yes, in my God, I can see this happen. In my God, I can see this happen. Brush off the dream. To God, it's real. Brush it off, dust it off, get the cobweb off. Don't put it off to tomorrow, but be confident in it today. Hallelujah. Of courses, foods and flavors. That's great. But he's also provided a personal invitation to you and also the dress code for you. But he's also provided the clothes for you. He's also provided a seat with your name on it and a place with your name on it. He's also provided the servant of the banquet, and that's himself. That's amazing. That is absolutely outstanding. One thing he says is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the ticket price. Free food, free place, free clothes, free servant. One thing, love the Lord your God with all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself. What an amazing provision of Jesus. Next 4 weeks, so by the end of February, it's a leap year, right? You get an extra day. There are three people in this room that are currently see debt in their bank balance, are going to see profit in their bank balance. There are three of you. It's like God is going to move the colors of your statement from red to black. From red to black. Why? Why not? Yes, you've learned stuff on the journey so far, But God doesn't allow debt to happen for us to learn. We just need to relearn to come through the door of opportunity that God has opened for us. So on this journey, we've learned stuff about stewarding and tithing and giving and all that kind of stuff. But God says, send Jesus to make you and me rich in every way. Rich in every way. I don't mean that we're going to have millions in the bank. We're going to have millions at a deposit in our heart, though. Being rich has got nothing to do with money. It's about relationship with Jesus. Rich is not about what you've got in your wallet. It's about who you've got in your heart. The world says it's about money. Jesus says it's about me. But there are three of you here. You've just been dealing with it and trying to push numbers around, particularly in this last week. Especially in this last week, because it's the end of the month and a new month. It's like, I just don't see how this is going to work. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just follow him day by day, and he will do the rest. He'll maximize your assets as you give more of yourself to him in terms of heart, mind, spirit. He will give you back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. There's two people here. Just in this last month, you've had a medical prognosis which has said A. Well, let me tell you something about A. A always submits to B. B stands for blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks a greater diagnosis than the medical people can. We love those guys. Jesus is the greatest healer of all time. He is the physician of all physicians, the surgeon of all surgeons. He is the orthopedic surgeon of all orthopedic surgeons. He is the greatest brain surgeon and heart surgeon there ever has been. And he says, no, my blood speaks more loudly than prognosis does. So how do we do that? We have to agree, which one are we going to believe in? Sometimes we need some help to get into a small group. Pray, trust in God together. And that will help. Because we are always greater than the sum of our parts when we're with other people. Powerful. But Jesus said, my blood speaks on your behalf. Three of you are going to find a financial breakthrough. Two of you, a physical breakthrough. I can just see it. I can see it in my heart. A couple of you have just had such a New Year challenge. You've made resolutions. You've gone to pray. You've made agreements with God. And God hasn't changed, but maybe you have. And now you feel like, oh, I've let God down, and what can I do? And God says, come back. Come back. Come back to me. Come back through the door of grace and see what I will do. That's why I'm just so thankful that the gospel has got full stops in it, but there's more commas in it than full stops. If it was just a load of full stops, I never would have been able to give my life to Jesus, and neither would you. Because it would have just said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But, thank you, Jesus. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Incredible story. God has plenty of oil. He's just looking for some wicks to burn. Jesus shows us that there is nothing valuable with just an exterior shape or form. What matters to God is the content. And for me, there's one terrible verse, and I don't want to get to this point. And it says that the bridegroom was heard coming, and the foolish virgin said, "We haven't got it." I don't ever want to get to a point where I don't have the Holy Spirit. And God doesn't want you to get there either. Which is why the Bible says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just once, but every day. Because there is plenty of oil. God is just looking for some wicks to burn, like you and me. Whether we're a great big chandelier, or whether we're just a little bitty bedside light, neither work without the oil of God's presence. That's what Jesus shows us. God is smart. He shows us really deep things through stories. Verse 26 reminds us of this. Where there's a plot against you, there's an anointing to overcome it. Where there is a plot against you, there is a greater anointing to overcome it. The question is this. Do we go to a place of Bethany? Or do we go to a place of barrenness? Because every plot, there is a greater anointing to overcome it. But you'll only find that in your Bethany, where you can just connect with the presence of God. That might be in your car, it might be in your toilet, it might be in your front room, it might be in your office, I have no idea. Jesus never spent a night in Jerusalem. He always spent a night in Bethany, because he knew that was where he could hear from God and be restored and be refreshed. We all need a Bethany. And we find this really famous story of the lady that came in and broke this jar and poured oil out. And I suppose we can interpret that in a certain way, but as I read this on Thursday, whenever it was, I suddenly realized that was just a foretaste of what Jesus was about to do for me. He was about to get bruised, crushed, broken, shattered, scourged, whipped. He was about to have everything about the vase of his life smashed, so that the fragrance of his life could pour out for me and for you. Please don't spend the rest of your life saying, the world's out to get me. No, you're here to go and get the world for Jesus. Please don't spend the rest of your life thinking everybody's against me, when he that is in you is greater than all those that are against you. Please don't go around saying, oh, well, this, that, and the other. No, no, no. There's a greater anointing for every plot that's set against you, whatever it is. And as we come to Jesus, say, Lord, I need some help. He gives you the help. The Lord's Supper, we all know about the Lord's Supper. There's loads of reasons why it's there. There's also loads of reasons why Judas left before Jesus had his most intimate conversation with his followers. But you probably know that. But the point is this. That event has already happened. And in that event, Jesus made a brand new covenant with you and with me, which no one can break. Because he gave his body willingly to fulfill that contract. And you and I, we're beneficiaries of that contract, thank God. But we never made it and we don't keep it. But we do receive the virtue of it. It's powerful. And you can turn over a page to 27. There's all kinds of stuff in there you can get out. But the one thing that really spoke to me was this. Jesus did not cry, woe is me. He didn't cry, look what the world has son. He didn't cry, I don't deserve this. He didn't cry, well, if you knew who I was. He didn't cry, well, why didn't you do this with son? No, no, no. He gave out a great big shout. He said, it's done. It's finished. All the way through the Gospels, at no point in time, even though people tried to stone him and mug him, and at no point in time did anybody take the life of Jesus from Jesus. Nobody did that. He gave his life. No one took his life. He gave it. And the moment he cried out, it is finished, the Bible says, and he gave up his spirit. Why? Because he wanted to give it to you. And we're going to be looking at that a lot more in his next 28 days. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? But the difference between Matthew 28 and Acts 1 and 2 is this one. Not only did Jesus say, it's done, it's finished, and gave up his spirit, but the Bible tells us that he went up to be in heaven right now. And today, what's the main thing Jesus does? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. That's powerful. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for this town. He's praying for your town. He's praying for the church. It's his church. It's not our church. So Jesus went up to pray and he went up to send. And the Holy Spirit comes to remind us of everything Jesus is, remind us everything that Jesus has done, and to bring everything that Jesus is into our life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. This year is a jubilee year for you. Still with me, don't fall asleep. This is a jubilee year for you, but it's not going to happen because I say so. It's going to happen because God has said so. It's not going to happen because we're brilliant. It's going to happen because God is brilliant. It's not going to happen because we deserve it. It's going to happen because God wants to give it. It's jubilee, freedom year, redemption year, debts demolished year, reassignment of resources year. That's this year. People finding their place and their function in a new way and in a fresh way. That's exciting. I'm excited. Anybody else excited? You can stand up if you're excited. Interesting message today. And you would have all got loads of different things out of Matthew. But his intimacy with his Father was the key. The Bible puts it this way. Jesus didn't go anywhere or say anything or do anything without hearing from the Father first. That's called prayer. That's why, as a leadership, the first 7 days of every month, starting from tomorrow, we want to pray. We don't just want to pray because we'll get something out of it. We want to pray because we want Worthing and this region to get something out of it. We don't just want to pray so we get blessed. We already are blessed. We want to release that blessing over men and women and children because we carry the open door blessing. We want to pray for open doors for multitudes of people to find Jesus. We want to pray an open door for businesses to come alive and schools to be touched and nurseries to be transformed. That's what these 7 days are for. It's 7 days of strategy to get hold of God and bring the kingdom of heaven down on earth. And we're all part of that. If you know Jesus today, then you are a warrior in this strategy. You are a part of where we're going. Hallelujah. How do I know that's true? Because in Matthew 28, interesting thing happens. Right at the end of that, Jesus went where he said he was going. Two chapters earlier, he said, don't worry, because when I'm risen, that's faith, I'm going to go to Galilee, and you'll see me there. That's confidence. And he did exactly what was said on the tin. But something interesting happened. The men and the women that had followed him around, they all saw Jesus, but they didn't all see Jesus. So some saw him and doubted. Others saw him and worshipped. I love this bit, because Jesus knows the hearts of men. And he just came closer to the ones that doubted and spoke to them. He didn't dismiss them or say, well, you're an idiot, you're a failure. He said, no, I'm going to give you something. I like that. Sometimes I doubt. But whenever I do, Jesus comes closer and speaks. And that'll be true for you too. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the word of Jesus. So Jesus doesn't even expect us to believe on our own. He says, oh, they saw Jesus and some worshipped, but others saw him and doubted in their hearts. This year, as a man or woman, you are going to move in extraordinary faith. I'll say that one again. You are going to move in extraordinary faith. Because that's the faith you've got. That's the faith of Jesus that he's put into our hearts. Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I want to thank you that you are revealing your glory in these days. I want to thank you that you have a mission for us this year. And that is to see transform lives, change towns, restore streets, households coming alive to the reality of Jesus. I thank you that each one of us in this room, you're saying, go and make disciples. Go into all the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always until the very end of time. Is anybody thankful in the room that today is a day of victory and celebration? Come on, let's celebrate the goodness of God. Oh, let's raise a shout of victory. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.